So, I'm sure you'll all agree with me.
That I always agree with you, Rabbi.
Question is if I always agree with you. I love you, Brian. Okay.
I love you too, Rabbi.
I love you too, Brian. So, one of the things that people would really look for in terms of attraction when it comes to dating or seeing someone is... Yeah, outside of the physicality, is vibe, a good vibe? Absolutely. What's the good energy?
Values.
Money is a good value, okay. All right, we'll see how they think of you. Carry on. What was that? Someone else has something?
Kindness.
Kindness.
Kindness. Who needs kindness?
Me.
What about someone who is authentic? Right? Like so I said, I'm sure you'll all agree with me that someone who is amiti,
someone who has depth.
We said good values and depth and kindness, but I want to touch on the point of authenticity. Emotional connection. I want to touch on a point which is authenticity. Someone who's real. Because, you know, a lot of times, there is actually a great story of Rabbi Yochanan, a great rabbi who was once asked from his students, please, Rabbi, bless me. And before he passed away, he said, I'll give you a blessing, that you should be real, as real in closed doors as you are in public. Meaning, be the real you. That's my blessing to you. They said, that's it. He said, that's all? That's all you want? That's all you can give us? That's the only blessing? He said, yeah, that's more than enough. That's the greatest blessing that someone can have, is to be authentic. So I'm in the middle of reading Pirkei Avot, some of the teachings of Pirkei Avot, and I want to talk about how someone can be authentic. What makes someone more authentic than someone else? Or, you know, you might not agree. You might say that everyone's authentic. But there is something deep within that makes us more real with the times. And this is chapter 3. We are now in the third chapter of the study that we've been doing for quite a few weeks. And he says like this, the rabbi says like this, this is how you get to be authentic. Akavya, the son of Mahalalel, a great, great rabbi that was so great, they didn't even give him the name rabbi. That's how great this person was, meaning that his, you know, sometimes a personality of a person is enough, doesn't need a title. It's like, you know, not to compare, but, you know, some people get a diploma and they need their, they say, I'm a PhD. Some people, they just say their name. They're like, oh my goodness, that's you? Their name already speaks for itself. So actually in the times, you know, Hillel HaZaken, the great Hillel, wasn't called Rabbi Hillel, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they weren't called rabbi. The reason is because their greatness spoke for itself. It was the Abraham, the Isaac. And it only started only later on in the times of the Talmud, towards the end of the Mishnah, the times of the Mishnah, that people had to get titles. A title isn't an ideal thing. It's only something that needs to push who I am as an identity, because what I am is not projecting enough. So this is, his name represents authenticity. That they called him by his name and they didn't need to title him because of his greatness in itself. His name already spoke for his greatness. So we're talking about someone who was authentic in himself. And he said three things that a person needs to know and always look at. He said, "Histakel b'shlosha dvarim." Look at three things. Now in Hebrew, there's two words for looking at things. There's one which is "listakel," which means to look. And then there's another word, lir'ot, which means to see. It's different in Hebrew than in English, but in English we'd say you look at someone or you see someone. Which one's bigger? Which one's stronger? See? Well, nowadays, I'm seeing someone, you know, when it comes to dating. So it means that, you know, we're getting serious together. But when I look at something, or I see something, what shows I gave more attention? Yeah, listen or to hear. Which one's more? Listening. Looking versus seeing. I saw you. But I looked at you. Which one sounds better? Right, maybe because of the way I'm saying it. Okay, you don't agree with me? Listakel means to see something with deep vision. Okay, it's to actively look and look deeply at something. That's why it says on Chanukah, we say that these candles, they're holy, and we don't have permission to look at them, listakel, ela lirotan bivad, only see them. We can only see them. What does that mean? When you, on Chanukah, we can't use the candles for our benefit. That's why we have the extra shamash. Because we're not allowed to use the lights for our benefit. It's made simply for the Chanukiah. It needs to be legit. So we're not allowed to use it for our benefit. We can see them, but we can't look at them in a way where we start benefiting from it. Looking at someone intently, deeply, can also mean that you're benefiting from that look. And actually, that's something that we're meant to refrain of unless we're in a marriage, right? If when it comes to looking at people, we're not meant to look deeply at someone. Right? Look deeply about them. And now I woke you up. Right? We're not allowed to... Hey, Brian. Okay. We're not meant to look at someone in a way where we're benefiting from them. We could see them, of course. You walk into a store, you go into anywhere you go, you see people, you should see people, but to deeply, you know, it makes them uncomfortable, and it should, because you're using them in some way, especially when it comes to the opposite sex. So when we're talking about a male looking at a female, specifically, then that really does apply, this idea of looking versus seeing. Looking is something which you do, but not only seeing the person, but observing them and taking their what you're looking at for your benefit. And that's something we don't want, because that means it controls me. Unless, obviously, I'm getting married or I'm dating, that's a different story. But in general, that's not something we do. Okay, anyone got a question with that? Sounds good? Okay. So he said, look deeply at three things. And then you'll be someone that never does wrong. You'll never do wrong. Meaning, you'll be your most real with yourself. You'll be the most authentic self. And what is it? Look at these three things. You'll never do anything wrong. Know where you came from. Where you're going. And who you're going to be giving account for all your actions for. When you leave this world. Okay, he doesn't say that, but he says, know where you came from, where you're going, and who you are going to give your din v'cheshbon, your account for, of everything you did in life. Okay? And then he explains, where did you come from? Mitipas rucha, from a little drip. That's where we came from. Ula'an ata olech, where are you going? Limekom afar ima v'toleas. Heavy stuff. But this is how you get authentic. Where are you going? To a place of dust, worms, and tolea, I don't know, different types of rimot, v'toleim, different types of worms. Okay, excuse me. V'lifnei mi ata l'atid liden v'cheshbon, and who are you going to be accounted for in front of? Lifnei melech malchei hamlachim hakadosh baruch hu, before God, before the creator of the universe. So he says, know three things, where you came from, where you're going, and that everything you do, you're accountable for. Okay? Now, what does that mean? We said histakel means don't just look, look deeply. By the way, he repeats himself. What does he say? First he says, know where you're coming from, where you're going, and who you're going to give account for. And then he says, where are you coming from? From a little drip. Where are you going to the earth? Who are you going to give account for? To God. Why didn't he just skip the repetition? He repeated himself. Why is he repeating himself? This is the statement of Akavya bin Amalal. He should have just said, where are you coming from? From a drip. Where are you going to earth? Who are you going to give account to? To God. That's it. Why does he have to repeat himself twice? Have I lost the crowd? Do you hear what I'm saying?
Because it's one thing to hear it, but like to believe it, you really have to like... you know, let it seep in and commit yourself to work towards that.
Yeah, that's the histaken. Look deeply. Don't just hear these words. You know, last week we had someone speak about death. And he said, when you talk about it, okay, now it comes a bit more comfortable. These are the kind of topics that we hear and we're like, okay, yeah, I've heard that before. You know, these are the things that we say, but then we say to ourselves, okay, yeah, it's true. One day we leave this world. It's pretty short. I tell you that. It's pretty short. Okay, where do we come from? From a little. But when you start really contemplating, it changes you. Okay. Now, where you come from, he says, from a little drip. What does that make you feel? Special? Not really. What is that meant to make you feel?
Make you humble.
It's meant to make you humble. Good. Where you come from, remembering where you come from, that you're... Who are you already? Why were you demanding such respect? What are you already in terms of physicality? Right. In terms of your soul, it says that a person should have lots of pride. Vayigbal libo bedarkei Hashem, it says by David the king, that he was proud in his heart that he was going in the way of God. Meaning, if I do a mitzvah, I should be proud of it. Pride is a good thing of my soul, of my inner self. But being real about my physicality, that's something I have to be real. And I need to know physically, why am I so deserving? Why am I so demanding? You want an authentic person? This is it. Where are you from? Physically, what are we already? They say if you look at Earth, okay, LA is a big city. Where we are, people come, they say, oh, this is a nice house. Okay, we're in a big house. And here we are, we're all sitting in this room. And people say, people think to themselves, I'm pretty big. But when we look at the map, we start looking further out. You know, you go on a drone first. You start seeing, okay, there's a lot more going on. There's me in this little room. And then there's many rooms of many people. And you look further out, you don't even see LA anymore. It's like a little mark. Then you go even further out. And you see the entire universe. You can't even write LA on the map. You know, you have to, maybe you can just write USA on the map, but you can't even find your spot. Forget it. You'll never find your spot. You have to really zoom in. In terms of me, in my own world, I'm massive, I'm huge, I'm great. But in terms of realistically, what am I physically? Not so much. In terms of spirituality, I have tremendous potential. But physically, what am I? And this is the first answer to understanding and becoming more authentic. Where am I from? From nothing. It gives me humility. So I just wanted to speak about that for a second. Pride is the shoresh. We've spoken about this on Passover. Pride is the root of all problems. Why do you get angry with someone? They hurt my ego. I spoke about this, remember? Why am I jealous of someone? Why does he deserve... Why is he getting that car, not me? Right? Well, why is he getting that car, not me? I should have that car. So it's my pride that's kicking in, that's making me jealous of the other person. I demand honor and ego. What's that from? I'm demanding honor. Respect me. Speak nicer to me. Where's that coming from? My inner pride. Why do I hate people? Because my pride is hurting me to see that somebody else's right, hate is coming from inner sense of pride. So, even when I criticize someone, I can tell if it's coming from a sense of pride versus a sense of humility. Let me give you an example. This is very important. Criticism. So, somebody says about you that you, you don't notice things when you're in the room. Like, oh, forget it. You're dating. And it's getting serious. And she says about you, oh, forget, don't worry about him. He never sees anything in the room. Like he, don't worry about him. And you go home and you start getting upset. Why? What are you doing? You know, that's... Why did you say that? That's the way that normally we criticize. We start bashing the person. And what does that do to the other person? What would that person do? Right, bring them down. What's their reaction? I want to teach you a skill of criticism. What?
Usually withdraw.
Withdraw, defensive. That's not what I meant.
Oh, sorry.
Right? Well, withdraw also. It's like... No, what did you mean? Give me... Explain to me what you mean by withdrawing. Maybe I didn't.
I don't talk.
Yeah, usually I just like feel disconnected and I withdraw.
Okay, so withdraw means being quiet completely.
I don't even get defensive. I just like start...
Right, but the connection gets further away. There's...
Yeah, that's defensive. But that's my version, I guess. Yeah, you're right. Same thing.
Well, no, that's another way. Withdrawal is not building the connection. The criticism isn't working. That's
I usually don't even try to fight them.
Right, so that is a way that some people react, and you know what? That criticism that person was giving you isn't working. True? Mm-hmm. If it was, there will be a deeper communication.
It works when you think the person loves you already. It does work. But you have to truly believe that, and that person had to really build a sense of love for you to be able to receive that criticism. It can't just come from anybody.
Yeah, I mean, if you feel like there's a real love from that person cares for you, so you'll be able to receive that criticism a little more.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something, that criticism is more painful from those that are closer to you.
Yeah.
So it's true that if you love them, you'll be able to hear the criticism, but in a way, even if it's deep, it's true that the criticism will work, but in a way, sometimes what can happen also is withdrawal even more. I'll tell you something, there's a great saying, there's a rabbi that said something very interesting. I forgot his name. He said that you can't step on someone's toes unless you're close to them. Okay, so if it's someone on the street that calls you a name, who cares? But if it's someone that's close to you that steps on your toes, that really hurts. You know.
But it also depends if they do it in public or if they just tell you that in person.
Yes. Because if they're embarrassing you and humiliating you, that really doesn't work. Good. Anyone else? What's a good way to criticize someone?
In public, for sure.
Okay, that's the exact opposite, right? But he means the same, right? Sarcasm. Sarcasm?
That's right.
What do you think that would work? I don't know. Okay, anyone else?
Add something positive.
Okay, that's good. That's really good.
Tell them you still love them.
Actually, the Talmud says that you should start with the positive. So that way the person is willing to listen, and then you go into whatever is the criticism. Go on, what do you say?
Tell them you still love them after you criticize.
Okay, that's good. I like that. Okay. I love you, but that really hurt me. Okay, that's good. That's good. That works.
But I just want to remind you I still love you.
That works. I think that works. I think that works. So here's a little trick, and it really works. And this is in all areas. It's not only about criticism. One of the examples will be, let's say you're dating, and the other side says, you say to the other side, so what did he do today? Right? This is the example we gave in our dating class. What did he do today? Oh, I went shooting with my family. So the reaction could be that the other person is like, shooting? What? Oh, I hate that. Right? So what does that do? Creates a disconnect. The guy's going to start attacking back. He's going to start saying, what do you mean? What's wrong with that? Right? He's going to start attacking back. So how do you do? What do you do? If you really think that you should be criticizing, how would you respond? First of all, expound on it. Okay, tell me more. Is this something you do regularly? Right? Tell me more about it. So first get to know what the real reason is. And then you start asking. He says, no, actually, well, I don't really normally go shooting in the range, but once a year we go with my grandfather. It's like a thing for him to go shooting. Okay, now things make a little more sense. As opposed to, what? I really don't like that. So then he starts different. What's wrong with shooting? What's wrong with guns? Right, he starts getting defensive. But if you don't have to put him in defensive mode, maybe you'll get to know exactly what his story really is. And then things might make a little sense more. So first expound on it. So that's definitely another way of dealing with criticism. I'll tell you another way. And this is to do with humility. Naturally, when someone's humble more, when someone's more humble, They'll be able to deal with the criticism a little more in a better way, naturally, subconsciously. You want to know, Aaron? Okay, so what you say is how it made you feel. I just want to tell you, like you said, I love you, but you should know that that really hurt my feelings, especially because it was with my family, and you know they really don't think of me that way, and it really made me feel uncomfortable. So really speak about how you feel much more than about bashing the person who caused the problem in the first place. Much more about your own feelings. And you should know that that really works. That really makes me feel uncomfortable. Try it. That really made me feel uncomfortable. Straight away, the guys react. Right? The person in front of you says, oh, okay, sorry, I really didn't mean it. Because when you explain your feelings, it's about me and it's not about bashing you. I just want what's right here. And I want a good environment here. I don't want to bash you or bring you down. It's not about you versus me. So really, criticism that comes from humility is just talking about my own feelings, but as opposed to, which may sound actually like someone who's proud, but it's really just, I'm not here to bash you. I'm not here to take you down, belittle you, or make myself feel greater than you. So basically, someone who is a person that knows where he's coming from, is real with his physical reality, that person is a person that's more humble and will gain in many areas of life. Less jealousy, less seeking honor, which, by the way, a rabbi say, when you don't seek honor, honor seeks after you. It runs after you. Less hate, better criticism. You see how much better this is? All you have to do is start thinking about where you come from.
What about seeking justice? Sometimes you want to get to the bottom of something to just make the world, you know, I mean, now it sounds like a cliche, but, you know, a better place.
So that also, when people fight or argue over some, both trying to find the truth. This is wrong, this is right, this is wrong. You could see when the argument's healthy and when it's unhealthy. If it's coming from a place of humility, then the person would say, listen, I really want to know the truth. And if he hears that he's wrong in some area, he'll say, okay, you know what? I never thought about that. You have a real good point there. I never thought that way. A conversation of humility works. A conversation of pride is two-sided. It's not going anywhere. The way I see if a conversation is healthy is if two people are committed to the truth more than their ideology. So let's get political for a second. The conservatives are right. We're right. The Democrats, we're right. You're right. We're right. We're right. At the end, you come so committed to your vision and you're so committed to your party, you forget about what's truth, right? We should be fighting for truth, period. Not about what our vision is or like what group I'm from. That's why I feel like I'm not part of any of them. A person needs to ask, I'm committed to knowing the truth, not to being part of a movement, not to being part of a party, of a group. Just simply one thing, I want to know the truth. And when you have that, that's a healthy argument. Okay, so that might help. But I can't necessarily tell you. All I could say is that humility by itself will help make a conversation go real. With humility, a person can actually communicate. Without it, there's no communication. Okay. By the way, we spoke about this on Passover. We have matzah and chametz, right? On Passover, matzah is the flat cracker and chametz is the bread. The difference between those two is three, the number three, meaning in numerically, matzah in Hebrew, the gematria of matzah in Hebrew is exactly the same, almost exactly the same, just three letters off from the word chametz, because they represent these three things. The difference between pride, which is what bread represents, and humility are these three things. Somebody who remembers where he comes from, where he's going, and that everything he does in this world, he's accountable for. A person that walks around in the world thinking, I'm accountable for all my actions. I don't get away scot-free for whatever I do. I know where I come from. I'm real with where I come from and where I'm going. I'm not here forever. Life is real. That person is going to be real, authentic, and humble. So that's why, that's how you have the matzah versus the chametz. It's the three. It's very interesting. There are three. The gematria is three off between chametz and matzah. It's the same besides for three. So that's the first thing, is where you're coming from. Where you're going, he says, La'an ata holech. What does the word holech mean?
Walk.
Ani holech, ata holech. Walking is not just going in the future, it's now. In the present, where are you going now? And the answer is, today is never going to come back again. Tomorrow is never going to come back again. Every day is a new day that comes and goes. But it's not that tomorrow we're having the same day again. It changes. A person needs to know that his age never comes back. As much as we try with all the aging gels and whatever we try, it's not going to help. We are made from the time that we're born genetically to age. And time is going. So la'ana ta'olech, someone who's real, recognizes that life is, every day is going. Ew. Okay, that thing's going. Spider.
Yeah.
So, know where you're going. This is what it says, very interesting. It says by Abraham. Avraham Avinu. Abraham the elder, our forefather. It says that he was old. Listen to this. Avraham Zaken. He was old. Baba Yamim. He was coming in days. It's very poetic. He was old. He was coming in days. And God blessed him with everything. What does it mean he's old and he's coming in days? Either you're old and you don't need to tell me that he's coming in days. What does it mean he's old and coming in days? It's repetitive. Dylan, this is going to be your next speech. Great speeches, by the way. So what does it mean that Abraham was old and he was coming in days? Just say he's old.
He's living life.
Okay, but he was already old, so he's come. If you say he's old,
but he's still living life.
So he's old and he's coming in days, that he's living his life. Okay, okay. What does it mean to live life?
Lives in the moment.
No,
lives every moment. I never don't
live. Oh, live every moment. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. Listen to this. This is what Chazal say, our rabbis say. What does it mean coming in days? Like you said. You said good. Kol yamav ba'im ito. All his days were coming with him. Meaning, some people, they go through a day. Okay, that was, I don't even remember what happened that day. I was drunk. That day's not coming with me. Right? That's not a memory. Every day, ba'im ito. Kol yamav ba'im ito. He was old. Ba b'yamim. He was coming in days. Meaning, behind him was a huge bag, a sack of all the days he lived, and each day was with him because each day had another meaning to it. It says that we want a blessing when we pray for longevity, for a long life. We ask for two things. Arichut yamim veshanim. We want a long days and years. We want a long life with arichut yamim veshanim. Because you can have someone that lives till 120, but the last 60 years of his life, he wasn't there. That can happen. A blessing isn't just to live long, but it's to live long with each day being meaningful. That you're coming with days, you're coming with your days. So that's what it says about Abraham Avinu. He was old and he was coming in days. Okay. There's a great parable to explain this whole idea of when someone thinks about these three things, he really is real with life. What's the parable? You're walking down the street in somewhere in Beverly Hills and you meet a guy. Someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, Brian, do you not remember me?" "No." "Come on, do you not remember me?" Brian says, "No." "I'm David. We were in school together." "What? I don't remember David." "David Cohen. We were in school together." "What do you do, Brian?" "Ah, I do this business, that business." So Brian says back to him, "What do you do?" "Thank God I'm doing very well. I own multiple properties. I'm in real estate." I'm doing pretty well. Actually, you know what? Brian, I've not seen you such a long time. I want to take you out for dinner. Let's go. He takes you out to the most expensive, obviously kosher restaurant, right? Pat's. No, that's what makes it expensive. So you go to Pat's and you sit down and he orders a meal for you. Psst. You say, what do you want? He says to you, Brian, whatever you want, let's go. What do you mean? This is expensive, Pat's. He says, I don't have that kind of money. A few thousand dollars just like that. Whatever you want. Brian's embarrassed. Sorry, Brian, are you okay with this? Of course you are. Brian's embarrassed, so he says to the guy, whatever you're having, I'll have. Yeah. Okay? So the guy makes this huge order, first course, second course, third course. Cheesecakes, which are not with cheese, because you had meat, and you had, don't ask. So you get this massive order, and then suddenly Brian's like, well, I just got to go to the bathroom. Brian goes to the bathroom, comes back, and guess what? The guy's gone. After waiting 10 minutes, 20, where is he? Where is he? 30 minutes, the waiter comes. You ready to go? And they come with the bill. What do you mean? I'm not paying this. Okay, now it's not Brian, someone else. Right? I'm not paying this. No way. It's someone else. He came. I don't know. You're the one here. You had the food. You ordered it. You have to pay. I'm not paying. Eventually, they call security. And there's no way out. $5,000 on your card. And you have to leave with security. You pay. What do you mean? You order all this food. You pay the food. And you go.
Pay off the security guard.
Yeah. So I told you. It's not Brian. Someone else. That's what it means. A person goes through this world. And what we have inside us is what we call a Yetzer Hara. An inclination to ignore reality. An inclination not to do good, which means forget reality. And what does it say to you? Enjoy. Now it's not. Do whatever you want. It comes to you, and it sits with you, and it says, eat, enjoy, do whatever you want. Take, steal from that store, do whatever you need right now. But then you forget. It doesn't, the Yetzer Hara eventually runs off. When we leave this world, the evil inclination runs away and then we're left alone. And we have to give an account, a din v'cheshbon, an account for all our life, what we did. What do you mean? But it's not my bill. That was that bill. It doesn't make a difference. When we leave this world, we're accountable for our actions, not our inclinations. We are. And that's why when it comes to this world, when someone thinks where I came from, where I'm going, he's the person that realizes I'm paying this bill the whole way through. So he's careful with what he orders. When you're not thinking that you're going to pay the bill, you're not careful with what you order everything. Okay, also to give you a feel of this story, there's a great story actually. I don't know if it's true, but it's a story that's told a lot of this a person that passes away, and before he leaves, he gives his children two wills. One, he says you open at the funeral, and the second you open after 30 days. Okay? He passes away, they bury him, they open it. Well, they didn't bury him. He passes away, they open it, and it says, please bury me with my socks. You heard this one before?
No.
Bury me with my socks. So they go to the rabbis. The rabbis say, that's halachically not allowed. You're not allowed to be buried with anything. Only with the tachrichim, which is the sackcloth or whatever it's called. What do you call it in English? The clothing that they put on the dead. There's a name for it. We're not allowed to be buried with socks. You don't get buried with clothes. So they go to the rabbi. His will was, please bury me with socks. What do we do? No, if you want to follow Jewish law says you're not allowed. Bury him without it. With great pain, they bury him without the socks like he wished. 30 days later, they open the second will, and the will says, see, even with socks, I can't be buried.
Wow.
And I want you to know, he says, even with my socks, I can't be buried. I can't even be buried with my basic things like my socks. He says, the children see, what does he say at the end of the will? He says at the end of the will, please, my children, I'm going to leave with you a lot of money, but I beg you, don't fight over this money. Because at the end of the day, this money doesn't go with us. When you think of the end, you stop fighting. That's what he was saying. When you think and realize that I can't even go with my own clothes, never mind with my house, with my money, not even my clothes, we don't go down. A person is realistic with life, it's not worth fighting. What's the point getting involved in this argument for? It's all going anyway. So that is how you find authenticity. It's heavy, but it's real. It might be heavy, but it means you're real. A real person is someone who knows where he's coming from, where he's going, and who he's going to be accountable for or she in their lifetime. Okay, so I think that's it for today. That's just the first Mishnah of chapter 3. And I hope you guys had a lot of fun. And yeah, have a great night. It was great having you here.